Okay, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, this is a great passage of Scripture. Today what I want to do is I want to spend some time looking at loving those who are difficult to love. It is very easy for me to love my grandsons. I guess I do that by proxy a little bit through FaceTime and through the videos she sends and through our goofy little conversations on the phone. It's easy for me to love my son and my daughter and my son-in-law. Stephanie really got a keeper there with John. For that, I'm very grateful to God. It's very easy to really love my spouse, and for all of you here, it's very easy to love as well. But what about those who are difficult to love? It may be the roommate. It may be the coworker. It may be the family member. It may be the neighbor. You know, sometimes it's easy for me not to return evil for evil. I just have this little saying, God sees and God rewards. God will take care of them. It's no big deal. And sometimes I just kind of walk away and ignore them. But when I look at, again, 43 to 48, I don't really know if that's what God is wanting from me for those who are rather difficult to love. To love. Now, again, in this particular word, as you know, there's at least four words in the Greek for love. This particular love has the idea of just selfless action for the benefit of another without really any expectations or desires for anything in return. I just do it with no strings attached. I do it with no, I don't even want to thank you. I just do it for you. And many times, as he says here about your enemy, there's not going to be a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings. So in essence, feelings are inconsequential. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. You just do it. Okay? And sometimes going to work. Sometimes whether we feel like it or not, we just go to work. Well, this is the same type of mindset we have to have when we are to love our enemies. All right, let's look a little bit of the scriptures here. When he says there in verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and bless those and do good and pray. Or loving your neighbor is quoted from Leviticus 19. So he's quoting the Old Testament law that, yes, you are to love your neighbor. But he's taking it to the next level for you and I. And he's saying, listen, I want you to love your neighbor. Neighbor is the one who's nearby. If you have a question of who the neighbor is, go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and that kind of answers who the neighbor is. But in verse 44, we're to love those who are hard to love. You got a boss that is really, really a difficult man to live with? I've heard of some people not wanting to accept the promotions, because if they accept the promotion, they have to go into another department, and the department head is really a very not nice person to work for. So I've heard of people declining the promotions because they don't want to work for that guy or that girl. They're very happy where they are. There's a nice, fun environment, a culture in that department, and they don't want to transfer over. So maybe there is a boss, though, that we're working with. And you can't really, you just don't click. And he's just plain nasty. What do we do with that? How are we to love him? And I think there's several practical ways. We're going to explore this much. There's a lot of growth group material I've given to them. There's like seven questions and some ideas. So you guys can just jump right in the application of this. With the neighbor or with the boss, maybe you could show up early. Maybe stay late. Maybe you could scrape off the ice, depending on what shift you work for. Maybe you could brush the snow off his car, which hopefully that won't happen anymore this year. Send him a note of appreciation. We are to love our enemies. We are to love those who are difficult to love. And I know that sometimes in the work environment, there are some people that are just naturally more, they just have more of an effervescent personality. They're more outgoing, and they're just fun to be around, and then you got that one. We all kind of gravitate to the fun-loving one, the guy who brings in the coffee, the guy who brings in the donuts every Monday and all that. We like that person, but we're supposed to also show love to that one. And that's difficult, at least for me. It might be for you. Maybe there's a neighbor, and you've got a neighbor dog that just loves to come poop in your yard. Now, why that is, I don't understand it. And then, you know, they rip up all the grass, and they just make a mess out of your yard, and of course they never pick it up, and your kids are running around, and you're thinking, I don't understand this. Why can't? I mean, they got a backyard. They got a front yard. Or maybe your neighbors are a little loud and obnoxious. I remember when we got married, we were still in college down in Pensacola Christian College, and we were living in a mobile home community, and there was a guy that was next to us, like about 15 feet away, and he had speakers like this. And he set them on the other side of his apartment or his trailer, so it kind of went to him, and then it went through us, and I think it went through many more trailers. And after a while of nights without sleep, I said, is there any way that you could turn your speakers the other way and, like, blow the other half of the, you know, development out? That was a tough neighbor to love because he didn't really work and didn't have much of a lifestyle that we were used to, and the music was all night long, and we were trying to study, you know, a young married couple, and we were working and struggling to get by and trying to study to pass our classes, and the music was just almost intolerable. It was tough. So when you have a neighbor like that, do you wave to them? You talk to them, like sometimes when you pull in before the garage doors, you know, close on each other, are you able just to wave and say good morning? Do you bring over a box of cookies or a tray of cookies? When you're shoveling the sidewalks, do you stop right at your boundary? Because there is no way on earth you're going 2 inches onto his property, on his sidewalk, because of a stupid dog. Or do you just kind of keep shoveling and shovel his sidewalk too? Or maybe if you got your snow blower out, and again, the stupid dog has just come poop on your side of your yard, and you're snow blowing and you see the old curl that the snow plow has done on his driveway, do you go over and blow him out? And we'll see here in a minute, it's very, very important that we do this. Going on a little bit there in verse 44, we're to speak well to those who are hard to love. They are, in fact, cursing you. And it's kind of interesting because cursing, it could be two ideas here. It's not just to use profanity, which, again, is just horrible. Some of the kids asked Robin not too long ago if she ever used a certain word with the kids, and Robin said, never. And they didn't believe her. They thought she was lying, that we never use this particular word when referencing or hollering at our kids. I mean, we just never use that word. They really didn't believe her. So you've got people that are using all kinds of profanity and vulgarity and calling you all kinds of names. Or the other idea of cursing is that they're really wanting to curse you. I curse you. I hope your teeth fall out. Or I hope they try to put these curses on you in some way or shape or form. And you're supposed to speak well of them. You see the difficulty that you and I are facing here today? It's not that we just ignore them and we try to sit on the other side of the lunchroom with them. We don't go to the break room with them and avoid them. We're supposed to speak well of them. Now again, John said that we are very much very solid and very maybe rigid in our Bible doctrine. And we really do believe that the Bible is the final authority for what we believe and how we live. And with this particular type of material, it's not allegorically interpreted. It's just a very straight narrative, which means it says what it means and means what it says. I have a daunting task in front of me. Because if someone is speaking ill of me, I'm supposed to be speaking well of them. And that's a difficult thing to do. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to do some role playing. We're going to have to do some scripting. We're going to have to return that curse with a compliment. We're going to have to return that vulgar barrage of words with maybe a nice text or maybe an email of appreciation. It's going to be difficult. And even in the home, and again, we still have some with siblings here at home, you know, we should be teaching our kids very, very rigidly and very severely that we don't allow that sibling rivalry in the home and even with the grandparents. When you've got your grandkids coming over, fighting in the home should be like as foreign as snow in the summer. I mean, it just doesn't happen. We don't allow that here. You've got time to fight. You got time to do go chores. So you start plucking dandelions. You go scrub the toilet. I mean, we just don't allow that. But for you and I, though, in the home, we need to, even if someone is being difficult, we need to say, go help your brother clean his room. Even if the sister's being picked on, we need to tell the sister, you go help him with his homework. We need to be teaching them, and you and I need to be doing the same thing. As we go on a little bit there in verse 44, it says that we need to be doing good to those who, again, who curse you, to those who hate you. Please, God, can't we just ignore them? Can't we just pretend they don't exist? God, do we really have to do good to these folks? Can't we just shame them? Can't we somehow hurt them? Can't we somehow make their lives miserable? I mean, they hate us. God, do we really have to do this? And the answer is yes. Yes. So you need to go buy the Wawa gift card. You need to go to Tivana if they like tea and go buy them some nice tea. You need to give them something to drink, as Romans 12 says. You need to give them something to eat, as Romans 12 says. You need to be praying and asking God to show you ways that you can honestly and biblically demonstrate God's love to the unlovable. To the unlovable. And then verse 44, it goes on a little bit more and it says, pray for those who spitefully use you. And I'll tell you, that's out there in the world today. And you know all many examples. Let me just share one that I heard a while ago. There's a story of an individual who was very successful in his field, and he was asked to be involved in a startup business and was promised and initially got huge compensation to get this startup business going. And you guys already know how this is working with despitefully use you. So they milk them for all they can. They get the business up and going, and then they lay them off. What do we do with those people? Do we get our lawyers and try to sue them for some sort of breach of contract, or how do we go about that? Well, the Bible here in this particular case says that we are to pray for those who spitefully use us. Being used. And I do want to just take a moment to talk about this just a little bit. And I want to do it kind of in a positive way. But we had a guy here a couple of weeks ago looking for some help. And many of you did help him, and I'm very glad that you did help him. He had some prescriptions, and he was showing you various prescriptions, and the amount that was gathered was like $30. He asked somebody for $50, and he was kind of asking for help. And what happened with this was one of our members last Sunday got a hold of the prescriptions and actually took him to Target to get the prescriptions filled. And the grand total of both prescriptions were $8. $8. Now, it's okay once in a while for us to be taken advantage of. And some of you got taken advantage of for $25. Some of you, I guess, got taken advantage for $30, as he was saying that was what it cost. Some of you were taken advantage of maybe $50. And I'm very glad, and again, let me just say, we are to be taken advantage of once in a while, because as we just finish up this passage, if we only give those who are loving and know we're going to get stuff back, we have no reward. But on just another side note, the first of each month we give to our Helping Hand Fund. But imagine that every single one of you throw some money in there, because we get thousands of dollars every year to help the Helping Hand Fund. When someone comes around looking for help, you can do whatever you want. As John said, we're Baptist in our beliefs, individual soul liberty, honestly. And I mean this, you can do as you wish. But one thing you may consider is you need to go talk to Ken. You need to go talk to the pastor and let them take care of it so that maybe we're not taken advantage of multiple times from an individual. But that's up to you, though. But again, I'm glad that you were willing to give him the money and to be taken advantage of. That is a Christian thing to do, as we're reading down through these verses. Persecution. It's going to be knocking on our door soon. So we need to be practicing some of this in the lighter areas, because what's going to happen here when those of you who have school-aged children or grandchildren, when a guy who is claiming to be transgender is given full access to the girls' locker room at school, and you start protesting that, persecution is going to come knocking on your door. What's going to happen if a couple or two individuals of the same sex come to me and ask me to marry them? Persecution is going to be knocking on my door or our door. So the day of persecution is very much real and is going to be very much a part of our life in the days to come. Verse 45, this is God's demonstration of love for those people who are, at, as the scripture would say, enemies of God. And he basically says this, he sends the rain, he lets the sun rise on the just and the unjust. He sends the sun for the evil and on the good. And you know what? We must love our enemies. We must love those who are hard to love the same way that God loves the world. You know, think about it. And I have no idea how many really honestly born again believers there are on this world. But look at all the good that God does to this planet. And yet, probably the percentage of those who really love him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind is probably few. Common grace, safety in travels. Oh my goodness, as I just saw on the internet, Interstate 78 going one of the directions up there in the Poconos. How many people were killed? A whole bunch, huge pileup yesterday morning out there on Interstate 78. But, you know, God in his sovereignty just allows health. You know, how come our whole planet isn't just consumed with some sort of a disease? But there's that common grace. Here's one example that you and I have to embrace. Jesus Christ, especially the last week of his life. I guess we're in the Lenten season, I think, now, and we're getting close to Easter. It's happening the end of March. When Jesus Christ was surrounded by active people who were trying to hurt, harm him, to kill him, how did he respond? How did he act? When he was being beaten, when they were pulling his beard out, etc., how did he act and how did he respond? And when you heard one of the seven sayings on the cross, as they were actually, well, are in the process of him dying, didn't he say, "Father, forgive them"? Man, not me. God, fry him. You see God, right? God sees and God rewards, and he hit the nails and he beat me and he spit on me. So God, sick him. Get him, God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Go for it. Not so. Not so. In fact, Peter says it this, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. In conclusion there, the rationale for living those who are hard to love, verses 46 through 48. And I'm going to step out of limb here because I may not get it exactly right and you can help me, but it just came to my mind because I just saw it yesterday. There's an attack ad by Trump on one of the presidential candidates, and the attack ad is something like, with all this deception and lying, how can you be an evangelical? Have any of you heard that or seen that? Who is he attacking, by the way? Cruz. But that just came to my mind here just a second ago. Trump is accusing Cruz of not being an evangelical or a Christian or whatever because of the lies or whatever their smear ad is saying. But if we think back just a little bit to the heart of that, Trump is saying Christians need to be acting differently, right? Kind of, if you're working with me, if you saw the ad, we'll compile it, morph it, make it work for me here today. If I were to run an ad, I'd say, listen, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to act a certain way, right? Now, as we read here, the last few verses of Matthew chapter 5, that's what he basically says. Listen, the tax collectors, greatly esteemed people there in the first century, right? Not at all, because they're gathering Jewish money to pay the oppressive Roman government. He says, now listen, if you just love those who love you, and if you just give to those who are going to give you back, and if you're just friendly and nice to the friendly and nice people, you're no different than the tax collectors, which weren't very highly esteemed. What good is your religion if you are not loving those who do not love you? Now, one more thought, we're done. There was a point in time when every single one of us was not loving God. We were enemies, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3:23, the wages of sin is death. But then we got Romans 5:8. But God showed or demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet, those who were not very lovable died for us. And again, there's just all kinds of contradictions in my life. I love grace. I plead for grace daily. I beg for mercy. God, be merciful. Be gracious for me, my children, my grandchildren. God, give them more than what they don't deserve. And God, please withhold from them what they do deserve. Just God, be gracious and merciful. And then if Robin, which she didn't make my breakfast this morning, by the way, she's sick, but that's aside. But if she doesn't make my breakfast today, she is not going to get any grace and mercy. In fact, I'm going to text her here in a little bit and say, I don't care if you're sick. You better get out of bed and make lunch and have it ready for me when I get home, because I want my food. And then 2 hours later at the evening meal, when we sit down, we read our morning mercies, new morning mercies, and a few other things. And then we'll beg God for mercy. Oh, God, be merciful to me. Be gracious to me, my wife, my kids. I don't know what God is thinking, but he's probably thinking, you hypocrite. I mean, your neighbor, your boss, those who are difficult to love, you ignore them. You don't extend to them any grace at all, and yet look at the grace and the mercy I give to you. How does that work? How does that work? And we'll be talking a little bit through this in the growth groups. But let me just say it this way. The cursing, the despitefully using, the hating are all present tense verbs, which means if you haven't experienced it this week, a new week's coming. There's a new week coming. So, do we love God enough to keep his commandments? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love those. Pray for those. Do good to those who despitefully use you, curse you, just make your life miserable. Maybe there's some behavior that you and I need to confess. Maybe we're not overtly attacking and retaliating. We just ignore them. But as we look here in Matthew 5, is ignoring them an option? Not answering emails, not catching their eye, trying to make sure we don't walk into the building at the same time. We just try to avoid them in every way, shape, and form possible. Is that a biblical option? Maybe we're going to have to think through some behavior that needs to be confessed, repented of, replaced. Maybe we need to be saying, who is there in our life that we need to start loving? Start loving in obedience to God's word. We're going to have some suggestions in growth groups. If you'd like to be held up in prayer, if you'd like some own suggestions because you can't stay, if you'd like to maybe be held accountable, I really want to make sure I stretch and grow in this area this year, but I'm going to have to be held accountable. We're here to help.